Wonderful job, Delaney and Mary and Curtis. And it's a blessing to see student and teacher playing together. What a blessing. One day we're going to have, as I said, we're going to have a big orchestra up here one day. Looking forward to that. I was reading something that Brother Bill Prater posted the other day to pastor friends, and it was a real encouragement to me. He said this: pastors don't fear a lack of originality at Christmas. If how the Grinch stole Christmas and It's a Wonderful Life can be watched every year, and if Jingle Bells and Santa Claus Is Coming to Town can be sung every year, you don't have to wrestle with something that I've never heard before in your message preparation. You know, the struggle is real. Sometimes for pastors, when you're preaching Christmas messages year after year after year, and you don't want to be redundant. You want to always have the message be fresh. But I appreciate that as encouragement to me. In 1943, Philip Van Doren Stern wrote a short story called The Greatest Gift. He tried to get it published to no avail. So he printed 200 copies himself, and he distributed them to his friends and family members at Christmas time. And by the way, is there anyone here tonight that's familiar with that short story, The Greatest Gift? I'm just curious. I don't see any hand raised. 1943, Philip Van Doren Stern. Well, one of his booklets made it to Hollywood, where it eventually fell into the right hands and was converted into a screenplay. The name of the project was changed to It's a Wonderful Life. Now, how many of you watched that Christmas movie, A Wonderful Life? And I figured you, most of you had probably watched that. It was first played in 1946. It was a holiday classic. And I'm sure that you're familiar with the story of a man named George, and who's rescued by this angel named Clarence. Clarence was trying to earn his angel's wings. And so he shows George how terrible things would be in Bedford Falls had he never been born. Now, I realize that the comparison is inadequate, but I believe the title of Stern's story raises an infinitely more important question when we apply it to the Christmas story. And the question is, what if the Lord Jesus had never been born? Have you stopped to think about that? What if the Lord Jesus had never been born? It would not be a wonderful life. It would not be a wonderful life. I want you to imagine what it would be like to pick up your hymn book and to open it up and not to find any Christmas hymns. No joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him. No hymn like that. No hark, the herald angels sing. No Silent Night, no Away in the Manger. But not only would there not be those Christmas songs, there would be no Christian hymns in this hymn book. There would be no songs like Jesus, the Sweetest Name I Know. Because you know, if Jesus had not come, we would not have known about Jesus. Now, prophecy talks about him, yes, but we wouldn't know him as Jesus. The prophecy wouldn't have been fulfilled. There would be no hymns like Victory in Jesus. There would be no hymns like Blessed Assurance. There would be no hymns like We've Heard a Joyful Sound, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. It would not be a wonderful life. If you stop and think about it, if Jesus had never come, there would be no hymn books like this one. All we would have would be the Psalms in the Old Testament. And I love the Psalms in the Old Testament. But you know, really, and I don't want you to mistake what I'm saying. I know the Psalms are inspired of God, but there's nothing like these hymns. Nothing like these precious hymns that tell us about Jesus and His salvation. Nothing like them at all. And just imagine had Jesus not come, and tonight you were to open your Bible, do you realize there would only be 39 books in your Bible instead of the 66 books? Do you realize you just have Genesis through Malachi? You know what the last two words in the Old Testament are in Malachi? A curse. The last words spoken by the last prophet in the Old Testament was a warning about a curse. Actually, it's a promise he's going to send someone like Elijah to come and turn people's hearts, lest there be a curse. But that was the last words ringing on their ears, a curse. Imagine if we were living in that time where Jesus had not come yet. I don't think it would be a wonderful life. Because I think of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these wonderful gospels that tell us the story of Jesus. I think about the story of Jesus being born of a virgin. I love the Christmas story, reading about how it all came to pass and how Mary was conceived a child of the Holy Ghost. I love to read the story about Joseph and being a just man. But yet he was willing to wait on God, and he listened to God's message and he obeyed God, even though it would cause reproach upon his life. You know, I think I love the story about the angels speaking to the shepherds and telling them about the glad tidings of great joy about the Savior that had been born. And how that they rushed or ran in haste to go see that baby Jesus and to worship Him. The story about the three men from the east that came with their gifts to worship this King. Their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, had Jesus not come, we would not have these beautiful Christmas stories to read and share with our children at Christmas time. If Jesus had not come, we would not have the story of Jesus walking on the water, feeding the 5,000, healing the sick, raising the dead. There'd be no story of the cross where the Son of God bore our sins on the cross as the Lamb of God. There'd be no story to read about His victorious resurrection on the third day. There'd be no story of churches spreading this good news, which is all, to all people, this good news of great joy. There'd be no story of the blood of the Lamb which cleanses every stain. There'd be no story of the way, the truth, and the life. There'd be no story of in our Father's house there are many mansions. Like Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. We would not have that beautiful story of heaven, that beautiful story of Jesus going to prepare a place for us and He's going to come back for us. There would be no Romans 8:28 for us to go to in times of hardship and tragedy. We wouldn't be able to go and look at that beautiful verse and believe that God is working all things together for good. We wouldn't have Romans 8:28. in our Bibles. No promise of Jesus coming to deliver us out of this present evil world and to take us to our heavenly home. This world would not be a wonderful life if Jesus had not. I cannot even imagine as a pastor if I was called to go to someone's home, a family member dying in their deathbed, and not being able to open the Bible and share with them the story of Jesus and His love for them, how He died for them, how He's a Savior who wants to forgive their sins and give them eternal life. I cannot imagine if I didn't have that story to go and tell people. It would indeed be a sad world had Jesus not come. You know, if we didn't have Christmas to celebrate this week, a lot of things that we take for granted would not be possible. You know, it's not just the Christmas trees and the gifts and all the good food and the family get together, but there are some things that would not be possible. I think of three things tonight that would not be possible. Number one, we could not have a personal relationship with God. Had Jesus not come, we could not have a personal relationship with God. And let me explain why. Because in John 14, Jesus said in verse 6, and this is a very, very familiar verse with most all of you here tonight. But I want to read it again. Jesus said in John 14, 6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, I want you to think about this. The only way we can know our Heavenly Father in a personal relationship is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Had He not been born a virgin, had He not come in this world, had He not been willing to leave heaven and to come to this earth by means of a virgin's womb, had He not been willing to endure persecution and shame and been willing to come and suffer as our sinless substitute on the cross, then we could never have known the Father. We would never have known what God was like. Not in an intimate way. Because you know there in verse 8, and it's John 14, I want you to notice, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. You know, I believe that is every person's desire. We want to know God. We want to know the Father. We want to know what God is like. You know, one of the old church fathers, he said there is a God-shaped vacuum in every heart. And I believe that he is correct in that. I believe he is right. Because you look at every civilization known to man, there's been some kind of religion. There's been some kind of expression of a search for God. Some kind of worship of a God. People have worshipped idols and people have worshipped the sun, the moon, the stars. They've made up things to worship. Man was made for God. And he's going to worship something even if he has to worship himself. But Jesus told Philip, have I been so long time with you and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that had seen me had seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You see, if Jesus had not come, we could not know the Father. Jesus came to show us the Father. If you look in John chapter 1, it talks about Jesus as being the Word. And he tells us in verse 14 that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then when you come to verse 17, where the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Then verse 18 says, no man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He had declared Him. Jesus came to this earth to declare the Father. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word came and dwelt among us. He was made flesh, He tabernacled among us, is what John says. What does that mean? What is a Word? A Word is an expression of our minds. Jesus is the expression of the Father. He came to show the Father. He came to declare the Father. And He told Philip, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. And so what I'm telling you tonight, that if Jesus had not come, there'd be no way that we could really know the Father in a personal way. Yeah, we could know about God in the Old Testament. We could know about Jehovah. We could know about some of His attributes and so on. But really, we could not know God in a personal way. For example, in the Old Testament, if you think about it, in the Old Testament, only a few people we know of talked to God directly. I know Moses did, and Abraham, Elijah, there's some like that talked to God. These were servants of God. And then when they come to the time of the tabernacle, after Moses received the law, the high priest, only the high priest, and only once a year, could he go into the most holy place. And there he could offer the blood on the altar in the very presence of God. But only that one man. You see, back in the Old Testament, common, average people like you and I could not talk to God in the sense that we can today. They had to go to a priest. They went to the high priest. They went to the priest and they made sacrifice on their behalf. They made intercession on their behalf. But when Jesus came, He changed all that. In Hebrews chapter 10, if you want to turn in your Bible with me to verse 19 in Hebrews chapter 10, it says here, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. I want you to notice what he's saying here, this writer to Hebrews. He's saying that we today, every single one of us as priests of God, we can come and draw near to God. We can come into the most holy place, he said, unto the holiest. We can enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You see, back in the Old Testament, that was not possible. It was, in fact, impossible. You could not go into the holiest. You could not go into the very presence of God. But Jesus changed all that. When Jesus came, He opened a new and living way where we can draw near to God. You know, John 1, I believe Brother Wagner read that this morning in John 1:11. He came unto his own received Him not. The saddest verse, I think, in all the Christmas story is John 1:11. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But I'm thankful for verse 12. He says, but as many as received Him, To them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on the name of the Son of God. So we find there that those that receive Jesus Christ, we become the sons of God. We become children of God. We come into relationship with God. That's only possible through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, as I mentioned, John 14:6, no man comes to the Father but by me. You know, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Do you realize what we have in Christianity today? What we have in Christ today that other religions don't have? Or even those in the Old Testament didn't have? You know, it's a huge, huge difference. You know, I think of Muslims. They would never even think of or imagine having a personal relationship with Allah. They could not even ever conceive of that. They don't have any hope of ever knowing Him personally. They see Him as so far above and beyond them that it would be impossible for a mere man to ever know Him, to ever have a relationship with Him. All they can do is to read the Quran and follow Allah's commands. But the Christian faith is different. It's glorious. It's a wonderful life since Jesus came. Because since He came, we can come to the Father. We can know Him personally. We can call upon His name. We can come into His presence in time of need. Only the Christian faith presents God as a Father who can be known personally. Oh, brothers and sisters and I, only a Christian can really celebrate Christmas. Amen. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we could not have had a relationship. Had Jesus not come, we could not have a personal relationship with God. Number two, we could not have any assurance of salvation. You would not have any assurance of salvation. In the Old Testament, they were looking for a Messiah to come. They were hoping that Messiah would come. It was promised that a Messiah would come. In the Old Testament, they had faith that one day He would come. But for 400 years of silence between Malachi and Matthew, there was utter darkness, no revelation given by God. Malachi being the last prophet. No voice spoken by God through a prophet for 400 years. Then Christ was born. Then Christ came. And the angels announced His birth. Said, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The very first Christmas there. And I realize that, you know, we don't know the exact day that He was born. But that's really not an issue. We know He was born. We know He did come. And this is a time of the year that we celebrate that. But when that very first Christmas morning when Jesus was born, there was great joy. There was good tidings of great joy. A Savior was born. Though man was under the curse of the law, condemned, lost, Jesus came to save us from our sins. That alone is good news. That good news brings great joy. You know, it wasn't just His birth alone that caused the joy, but it was the fact that He was Christ the Lord, that He was the Savior that was promised. The Savior that came to deliver us from our sins. To save us from our sins. That great Savior, that's what brings great joy. knowing this Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I was reading the story this morning in Luke chapter 2 about Simeon. On the eighth day when Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to the temple to be cleansed according to the law of Moses. Now Simeon, we read there in Luke 2 that the Holy Spirit had revealed to this man that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ. God gave him that promise. And it just so happened that when Mary and Joseph were bringing Jesus, that the Spirit of God brought Simon at the same time. And when he saw that child, that son, he knew that it was the Lord's Christ. He took Jesus up in his arms. And when he took him up in his arms, he prayed and he said, "Lord, let thy servant depart in peace. For my eyes have seen thy salvation." Isn't that good? Listen, there's no way you and I could depart this world in peace without having seen the salvation of God in Christ. I don't know how people do it, how people without Christ die with no hope, with no peace. It's the saddest thing in all the world not to have any assurance of what's on the other side of death. Not to have any peace or assurance, not have any hope, knowing what's coming. But this man Simeon, I believe it was in verses 30 through 32 there in Luke 2, he could depart in peace because he had seen the Lord's Christ. He had seen God's salvation. See, that would not be possible had Christ not been born. There's no way you and I would have assurance of salvation had Christ not come. You know, I think of verses in the New Testament, such as 1 John 5, in verse 11. Let's turn there. 1 John 5. These are some precious verses in the Word of God for those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. He says in verse 11, "And this is the record that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." Now look at verse 12. Look at this verse. "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." It's very plain and simple, isn't it? God had the record that God has given is that He's given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And He says, if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. And He goes on in verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Amen. Now, notice what He says. "You may know that ye may know that you have eternal life." I can know that I have eternal life. I can know it beyond shadow of doubt. You can know it. Think about that. How precious is that? If you got a call tomorrow from the doctor on your last checkup and they said, I hate to break this news, but you have cancer. I mean, if you got that news, I'm sure it's going to break your heart. I'm sure it's going to be a heavy blow. I'm sure it's going to knock you down. But really, it's going to bring you to the place of checking out your faith. I mean, when you're in a situation like that, you're going to want to know. You're going to want to know that you know that you know that you know you're saved. You know, I'm thankful that I've been able to see or be with, you know, church members, be in their very presence when they left this world. I don't even know, I haven't even kept a count, but there's been a number that I have been there when they went home to be with Jesus. And I want to tell you that it's a precious thing when that person has assurance of salvation. It's a precious thing. But had Jesus not come, we would not know. You could not know for sure. You could not know for sure that you have eternal life. You know, that's really sad if you stop and think about it. People in the Old Testament, I don't think that they had 100% assurance. They were looking for Messiah to come. But I know when you come to the New Testament, there's a different story. I mean, there's assurance in Christ. Putting our faith in Jesus, there's assurance of salvation. There's joy in knowing Christ. And listen, folks, without Jesus, we could not have this personal relationship with God. We could not have this assurance of salvation. But number three, we could not have a home in heaven. If Jesus had not come, there's no way we could have a home in heaven. Without Christ, heaven is unattainable. There had to be a sinless sacrifice. Someone had to die for sinners. Someone had to be sinless and pure. Someone had to be both human and divine. Someone had to come and offer himself as a sacrifice for sins. And that person is Jesus, the Son of God. He came. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that God made him to be sin for us. What that means is he made Jesus to be a sin offering for us. That he who knew no sin might be made, we who are sinners, we can be made the righteousness of God in him. I am so thankful for that he took my place. Had Jesus not been born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, had he not lived a sinless life, had he not died on that cross for our sins, risen again from the dead, then heaven would be unattainable. Only in Jesus you can have assurance of eternal life. You know, other religions, they strive by works. They strive to be good. They strive to do enough. But even after doing all that they can do, they still don't know. You know, I've talked to a lot of people that believe that they have to be good or they have to do certain works to be saved. And so I always ask these people, okay, if that's true, how many do you have to do to earn heaven? How many? And nobody can tell me. They don't really know how many works are enough, because there are none that's enough. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. We've already missed the mark. We've already come short. We're already condemned. If you don't believe on the name of the Son of God, you're already condemned. You know, I love that scripture there in 1 John. He that hath the Son hath life. It's very simple that even the children that are here tonight, the young children, can understand that. If you have Jesus, you have eternal life. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as receiving a gift. Because the Bible does say the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not of works. It's a gift. A gift you cannot earn. You cannot deserve it. You can only receive it by faith. And I don't know how it works other than God says, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus, that He died for your sins, that He rose again, if you believe that with all your heart, you confess that with your mouth, the Bible says you shall be saved. It's by simply taking God's word by faith and believing what God promised, that Jesus died for our sins, He rose again, and He's our only hope, that Jesus is the way, He is the life, He is the truth, and there's no way I can go to the Father but by Him. So we have to come empty-handed to God. We have to come and humbly before Him. We have to come acknowledging our sin, and we have to come believing that He died in our place, that He's alive. But think about this. I could not even give that invitation tonight had Jesus not come. I could not offer you the hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. I could not offer to you, if you were to come tonight and put your faith and trust in Jesus, if you were to come and pray and call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. I would not even be able to tell you that. I would not be able to tell you about John 14 where Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, He said, I will come again. That where I am, you may be also. You know, there'd be no hope of heaven. There would be no home in heaven if Jesus had not come. Can you imagine dying and not knowing that you had a home in heaven? Wondering where you're going to be? You know, I was reading, someone shared an article from USA Today. It was dated on December 4th, 2019. So just a couple of weeks ago in USA Today. Someone had bought a winning lottery ticket in Arizona worth $14.6 million. But they never showed up to claim the prize. According to the rules, the winner was given 180 days to claim their prize. However, after Monday's 5 p.m. deadline came and went, that person officially lost their claim. The $14.6 million. Arizona Lottery spokesperson told NBC News that the loss sets a record for the largest unclaimed jackpot since 1999, which was a mere $4 million. You know, it's kind of hard to believe somebody would pass up $14 million. I'm talking about the world out there. I mean, you think about people out in the world. I go to all these places, convenience stores, and all these people spending all their money, wasting money on all these lottery tickets. They would love to win that $14 million. It's hard to imagine someone not claiming that prize. But you know what's even more tragic than that? What's more tragic than that is how many people will make their way through Christmas this year without receiving the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. Jesus is a free gift God has given to you. This is the record that God had given to us. He's given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. That's God's witness, that's God's record, that's God's testimony. That He has given to us eternal life. And that life's in His Son. If you don't claim this prize, if you don't claim this gift, you don't have eternal life. Think of all the millions of people. After Christmas comes and goes this week, will have not claimed their gift. Think about that. I hope you tonight that are here, I hope and pray that each and every one of you have claimed the gift I hope that you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior. The greatest gift of all. Because really, Christmas isn't Christmas until it happens in your heart. Christmas isn't Christmas until Jesus is your Savior. That's Christmas. When Jesus lives in your heart. I want you to stand with me and bow your heads tonight. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We're so thankful. So very thankful that Jesus did come. Lord, I can't imagine what it would be like if He had not come. I cannot imagine. Lord, some of the things I've gone through in my life, what it would be like had Jesus never come. Lord, it would not be a wonderful life at all. Not having that sure hope, not having that assurance of salvation, not having that personal relationship with you, not having that confidence that heaven is my home and the home of all my loved ones who have trusted Christ. Lord, I can't imagine what it'd be like. But I'm thankful that I don't have to imagine. I'm thankful that I have the Bible, that I have your truth, that Jesus did come. And Lord, forgive us as Christians how so often we take this so lightly. Lord, we let Christmas come and go without really stopping to think about how much it means. We don't stop and think about what our life would be like had Jesus not come. Lord, we take Jesus for granted. Lord, forgive us for that as Christians. Lord, help us as Christians to be like those early shepherds who went and told abroad the things that they had seen and heard. They went and told people about the Savior that was born. Lord, what are we doing as Christians tonight? Lord, I know many times I've failed to share Christ with others. Forgive me, Lord. Lord, please help us. Lord, this Christmas season, not just this Christmas season, but in all seasons, in all times, to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to share Christ with others, so many without hope. And Lord, I pray there's someone here tonight, Lord. I'm sure that there's possibly is someone here tonight that has not received Christ as their Savior. They don't have this assurance that heaven's their home. They don't know for sure they have eternal life, Lord. Lord, if there's someone here like that tonight, I pray that they would settle that tonight. Lord, that they'd receive the greatest Christmas gift ever, Jesus Christ. Lord, that they would come as we give this invitation. We can show them in the Bible how they can know Christ as their Savior, how they can know for sure. They can come tonight and confess Him as their Lord and Savior. They can come tonight and call upon His name for salvation. Lord, bless this invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have Curtis.